you got to stop, man. Or, you know, I can't get these ads because of some of the things you tweet.
You know, I'm reminded of the scene in The Princess Bride. Great movie.
Great movie.
Offer me money. Offer me power. I don't care.
So you just don't care. You want to share what you have to say?
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
That's the voice of Elon Musk, and that long pause was his, and I wanted you to hear it because he is a very unusual person. We all know that. He's brilliant. He's also unusual. His past is different. His thoughts are different. The vastness of his mind is different, his comprehension. But the one thing you can't say about Elon Musk is that he does what he does to advance himself. It seems to me that he's for the cause. He's for electric cars. He's for, you know, exploring and finding, landing on Mars. He's driven by those kinds of things. He is an uncommon man. Now, he's not an unflawed man, so we have to watch and see what happens. But the Democrats are, you know, pretty upset about this because he is so effective. We'll talk about that a little bit today, but we're going to talk about what's happening in this world. So many things are happening. And I've asked Matt Schlapp to join me today because he's worked closely with the Trump administration and before that, the Bush administration. And CPAC is coming up, by the way, next week. It's February the 19th to the 22nd at National Harbor, Maryland. And I will be there on Radio Row, and it's not too late for you to go. Also, just go to CPAC.org, CPAC.org, and make your reservations. But we're going to have a great conversation with Matt just about, almost everything. But first, as long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers and with God's love and compassion. And to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. All proceeds go toward life, and together we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, please go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. You can email us. And by the way, we're going to be doing an email show pretty soon here at sandy@afr.net. Love hearing what you have to say. And I share as many of your email as I can on the air. You can also call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can find us on social media platforms, and you can also go to sandyrios.com, listen to the show, and find out more about what we're doing. Well, today is it's kind of a celebration day because so much is happening. And so this is just Matt Schlapp is a longtime friend of mine, and there's just it always cheers me up when I talk to Matt. So we have a great conversation in store for you today on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
And I'm joined now in studio by Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who has been outspoken this week opposing the Trump administration's latest move. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Good to have you here this morning. You have used incredibly strong language, a constitutional crisis, grossly unconstitutional, pretty alarming language.
Yeah, listen, I think this is the most serious constitutional crisis the country has faced, certainly since Watergate. The president is attempting to seize control of power and for corrupt purposes. The president wants to be able to decide how and where money is spent so that he can reward his political friends, he can punish his political enemies. That is the evisceration of democracy. You stand that next to the wholesale endorsement of political violence with the pardons given to every single January 6th rioter, including the most violent who beat police officers over the head with baseball bats. And you can see what he's trying to do here. He is trying to crush his opposition by making them afraid of losing federal funding, by making them afraid of physical violence. And so, yes, this is a red alert moment when this entire country has to understand that our democracy is at risk. And for what? The billionaire takeover of government.
Well, I don't know if it's working, but that's what the Democrats are saying. It's a constitutional crisis. All of this cutting, all of this permission to Elon Musk to go into these agencies and, you know, reveal what they're actually spending our money on. This is a constitutional crisis. So I've asked Matt Schlapp to join me this morning because Matt has an opinion on this, I'm thinking. Matt is the chairman of the American Conservative Union. He's also the head of the upcoming CPAC, which is coming next week. And we're going to talk about that and kind of underscore it for you because you can still come. But Matt, first of all, you worked for President George W. Bush. That's when I met you. You've been in the White House a lot. You've been close to Trump. What do you think? Is this a constitutional crisis?
Yeah, of the left making. They don't believe in the Constitution. Name an amendment to the Constitution they believe in besides the part where the press gets to run everything. I can't think of anything in the Constitution they believe in. And they're calling it a constitutional crisis as if they're the defenders of the Constitution. Every time the left of the Supreme Court comes out and they win on these decisions, it's always about weakening the Constitution. It's never about going back and saying, oh, we must be guided by the Constitution. Matter of fact, they call it a living document that has to grow with the times, Sandy. So this is balderdash. But I give the Democrats credit. You know, they're really hitting Donald Trump over the head with this J6 pardons, which I'm all for. I'm for the pro-life pardons. I'm for the Blagojevich pardon. I'm for a lot more pardons. At the same time, Joe Biden essentially gave a pardon to every protester that was involved in BLM. I don't really think there's any BLM protesters in prison. Kamala Harris sprung them from jails within 24 hours, and they did more property damage to our country than all the national disasters put together for a decade. So, well, you know, they're great on staying on message, but they're just lying.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, they're so good at it. They really are so good at it. And they continue to repeat it. It's become a mantra. You know that. It's not just Chris, not just the senator from New Jersey. It's all of them that are saying the same thing. Constitutional crisis, whatever accent they use. And then they're laying out the fact that President Trump, you know, is just trying to make money, and so is Elon Musk. And that reminds me, I bet you saw this interaction before the Super Bowl. I want to ask you about the Super Bowl, too. This was Bret Baier interviewing President Trump. It's just short. But he asks him about, you know, Elon Musk. And I think people should hear this. This is clip 3.
I don't know if it's kickbacks or what's going on, but the people, look, I ran on this, and the people want me to find it. And I've had a great help with Elon Musk, who's been terrific.
You trust him.
Trust Elon? Oh, he's not gaining anything. In fact, I wonder how he can devote the time to it. He's so into it. But I told him do that. Then I'm going to tell him very soon, like maybe in 24 hours, to go check the Department of Education. He's going to find the same thing. Then I'm going to go to the military. Let's check the military. We're going to find billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud and abuse. And, you know, the people elected me on that.
Yeah, do you trust him? Yes, I trust him. And you know, Matt, in D.C., really and truly, it's absolutely true. We always say follow the money. It is a cliche. But when people have financial interests, like, I could just list off so many that are making a ton of money. Like the person that spoke, the lady that spoke at the chapel when President Trump was there at the National Cathedral. And we find out that she's making $45 million to help so-called illegal immigrants while she's, you know, pouring her heart out and trying to shame him. Everybody has a conflict of interest. But Elon Musk doesn't really seem to. Is that the way you, I mean, I believe Trump is right. He has nothing to gain from this. He's already almost the richest man in the world.
Well, everyone has conflicts. I guess I would simply say I really don't care. I think he's a very public official, and I think he's like the most successful person on the globe. And if him being associated with Donald Trump and exposing wage fraud and abuse makes him richer, I don't care. The crazy thing here, again, is this is like the lying. The Democrats feather the nest of their family members. Almost everybody who served for Obama in senior positions and went on to like the boards of all these companies like Netflix and made millions and millions and millions of dollars. I call it like microwave money or Jiffy Pop money. They all become like worth $10 and $20 million immediately. Obama and his wife and Bill Clinton and his wife are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, have huge mansions. Everybody seems to get rich with the Democrats, and including the NGOs that get all this grant money. And you know, you finally get a billionaire to get on our side, and they're worried that he might be financially successful. It's just they lie so often. You said they're so good at it, and I agree with that. Look, I think when it comes to what Doge is doing so far, all I see is transparency. Why is that bad? Who doesn't want to know what the government's doing? Well, I'll tell you who doesn't want us to know. The people that are spending this money in a corrupt fashion against the will of the people, probably against the law, and they don't want to know who's benefiting from it. And, you know, I'm a Catholic in my own church. Catholic Charities is benefiting from all this illegal immigration. And, you know, I think it's conflicting for bishops when they speak on this topic. And the Pope was speaking about it in the last 24 hours, I think. You know, maybe we need to see where all this money is going and whose pockets it's going into. And as someone who runs a major nonprofit, it's really annoying. I mean, it's very hard for us to raise the $20-25 million we raise a year, and we're not getting the government help. Matter of fact, we didn't even apply for one of those PPP loans. So why do the left wing NGOs and nonprofits get all this government money, and the conservatives have to go raise it the old fashioned way?
Well, and that's true, and that's actually we could say that 10 times over, and it wouldn't be as it's like a baked in the cake. They have perfected the art of using our taxpayer dollars to fund the worst kinds of things, including themselves, including billionaires like George Soros. Public money going to these guys, making them richer, and so they perfected that, and Elon Musk has discovered it, is exposing it, and they are apoplectic. Yep. I know that you like pop culture, Matt, and so do I. And so I have to ask you, you're from Kansas. Kansas didn't do very well in the Super Bowl.
No.
That was painful. But at the halftime show, you just have to tell me your thoughts. I know you have some.
You know, I got kids, and they had to tell me who the performers were. And, you know, I love to do the crossword puzzle, and there's like four hip-hop or rap stars in every crossword puzzle. I always say Mozart, Beethoven, and Frank Sinatra never make the crossword puzzle. You know, we have this adulation of stuff that is hot and new, but I don't think lasting and great. And that was my takeaway from the performance. And my daughter, who's a dancer, is like, she thought the dancing was the best part, but she was even disappointing at the dancing. One of my daughters said they loved it when the dancers made the American flag. That was the highlight, which I probably would agree with that. But I don't think we do a very good job in this society of advancing what's beautiful, what people of talent are producing. It's just kind of what's hot. And I think that's true at the Kennedy Center, where Trump is now trying to get hold of the reins there, which is awesome. By the way, I've been going to opera with one of our supporters here at CPAC, and I'm learning a little bit about opera. Do you know they're trying to destroy opera by making opera woke? It's like this cancer.
No, I didn't know that.
That's in our society, it's affecting everything. So, you know, I think when you see beautiful music, you know, and I'm not so sure I would have put that in the category of that.
No, it's not even music, really. As a musician, I can tell you that's just a whole different genre, but it's not music. I mean, there were a few moments when they actually sang a melody, but not many. But, you know, Matt, really, that's actually a good illustration about opera, because that is the, even though people might not like the genre of opera, you cannot deny
that. It's an acquired taste, for sure. Not everybody likes it.
But you cannot deny the skill and expertise and complexity and brilliance of it. When I was in Berlin, Germany, a number of years ago, I used to, because the exchange rate, I could go to the opera for $1.25, Matt. So I used to go. I mean, I really, really loved it.
And that beautiful, these opera houses are beautiful. And
yes.
The music is beautiful, and you put on a tuxedo or a dress, and, you know, it's a very elegant thing in society. And, you know, the last time I took my kids to a Broadway show, people were showing up in yoga pants and pajama bottoms. And it's like, you know, I think we've lost this idea that it's okay to, you know, gussy up and clean up. And we used to say dress to the nines and be respectful of other people in the room and of your companion who you're with. And I'd like to recapture that. I mean, one of the small things we did at CPAC is we returned tuxedos to the Reagan dinner. And you don't have to wear a tuxedo. No one's going to look down on you if you wear jeans or whatever. But it's okay to be elegant. It's okay to, you know, want to be beautiful. That this is a positive thing in society. And that's true with how we, when we walk out of our front door, with what we say, with what comes out of our mouth. And I'd like to recapture that. I think Donald Trump has that dignity to himself. He's always in his kind of dark blue suit with his red or blue tie. And, you know, I like that. I like the fact that he'll throw on a tuxedo at Mar-a-Lago. I think it's a good thing. I'd like to recapture that as society. I think maybe, Sandy, just maybe, the young people we're raising are realizing that that's a good thing.
Oh, I hope so, Matt. I think... you know, I can't help, I was just thinking of a scripture verse. I can't help, this went through my mind. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And as I was watching, you know, it feels like President Trump has ripped us from the depths of depravity. I mean, just with his executive orders, like when he said, you know, there are only two genders, male and female, and, you know, I mean, as funny as that sounds, setting down of the standards again. It's a line in the sand. And watching the Super Bowl halftime reminded me how far we are from that still. We have to remember this is really a spiritual problem in our culture. We've had a political revival, but we need a spiritual revival. I have so much to talk to you about, but I want to pause for a second because CPAC is next week. It's February the 19th, the 22nd. I'll be there on Radio Row, which I love and always enjoy. And thank you for including me, Matt. But CPAC is at National Harbor, Maryland, a gorgeous hotel. And it's not too late for people to come. Is that right?
No, it's not too late. I will say we started selling out of ticket categories, so I would urge people to move quickly. It's a week away. We've got great announcements coming out with speakers. It's an interesting CPAC. We've got more interest from people who are involved in financial markets. There's a realignment going on in the country in every conceivable way, where you have all these people of color who voted for Trump, which belied this idea that we're all racist. But you also have all these interesting new characters in the economy. You brought up Elon Musk, but there are others who are reevaluating this idea that they had to make allegiance with the Communist Party to get what they needed in terms of regulation and tax policy. And they realized that being laissez-faire or kind of being libertarian on a lot of social or cultural issues doesn't work if all the kids that you're raising are confused about their gender, you know, pierced with purple hair, don't want to go to work. You know, that's not going to work for people. That's not going to work for people who are running companies. And I think they all realize that that approach was rather disastrous. And so I love the realialignment that's happening within the business corridors too.
Did you hear Van Jones? I won't stop to play it, but Van Jones, the famous communist, saying, oh, I think it was on MSNBC, but it was an interaction with a guy who's not a conservative by any means. And he's basically saying President Trump is brilliant. He's smarter than I am. He's smarter than you are. He's the president of the United States. He controls the Senate. He controls the House. And one of the richest men in the world is his best friend. He is brilliant. Stop saying you don't understand how he's accomplishing these things because he is brilliant. That's Van Jones, Matt. Talk about a realignment. It's shocking.
He's a friend of mine. I actually saw him at an airport in Europe recently. And, I think he's actually, he's way left. Polar opposite of me, but I think he's got common sense, and he realizes the Democrats really blew it. He's a man of faith and doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs. He's an interesting guy, and I was talking to another Democrat who's pretty left wing the other day, who was kind of going off about how dumb it was the Democrats to push men and girls sports and men in the locker rooms and trans on kids, like. You know, as much as you're not going to hear it on CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times, there's a lot of political Democrats who are left who are there's a lot of things Trump's doing that are very appealing to them. So, if the election were today, Trump would have done even better. I mean, I think we might have won in Minnesota and New Jersey. I mean, I think people are seeing they like this common sense.
Oh, I agree, and I would maybe say it even a little differently. I think that there are people all over, Matt, who have a heart for truth. They know truth when they hear it. I think Van Jones is one of them. I'm not saying across the board, but there's something that perks up in them that resonates when they hear truth. And that's when change happens. I think Elon Musk is one of those people. I think Jordan Peterson is one of those people. Some people are just, deluded and deceived, and they're willful about their ignorance, but others are like what we're seeing. Well, you talked about the international. One of the things that I love, by the way, it's cpac.org if you'd like to go next week, February the 19th to the 22nd, cpac.org. You have a real international flavor, which I love, Matt, because of my own life and travels. And last year you had this incredible panel of leaders, of conservative leaders from around the world who were identifying with all of us, struggling in the same way, the same kind of themes of wokeness and all of that happening in their cultures. So you and Mercedes are connected very much internationally. So I guess, first of all, I'd like to know if you're going to have anything like that at CPAC, and then a second question to follow up after that.
Yeah, we haven't made any of these announcements yet, but we have several prime ministers and presidents speaking, new names. The list of allies, CPAC allies in these countries is growing. including the list of groups that are working within those countries. I'm pretty excited about that because it's the furthest thing from what we ever thought we would do. We are anti-globalists, but we're traveling the globe, fighting the globalists, which is kind of wonderful. And yes, we're going to make sure that those major partners take the stage and explain how this is all hooked up. And it really is hooked up through Donald Trump. I'm not saying this as someone who's trying to be a colonialist, as they accuse me of, but Donald Trump is the key to them taking back their countries. And I had a 2-hour lunch with Viktor Orban last week, and we talked about it, about how Trump winning has inspired people in these countries who kind of thought it was over. And that includes George Soros, who kind of thought he was going to win. He's a Hungarian.
He thinks he's God. I remember.
25 years. Yeah.
He did say he thinks he's God.
We're very much going to do this. But we're going to do this within a context of the audience and the people watching. It's not all about like learning all the politics in these countries, but it's understanding we have a common enemy and we have common funders that are funding all this crap in our countries. And it's important for the American people to understand that this is happening in little countries too.
Matt, I think something that you know well, and I do too, but most people don't. It doesn't matter how far we've fallen. It does matter, but I'm saying we are still the leader of the world. People look to us. I'm sure you have people from all kinds of countries. They're desperate and depressed because they see America falling, and it takes away their hope because they look to us.
Yeah.
They look to us. So, all right.
True.
So
it's true. It's our mantle. We have to pick it up, and it's our job. We have jobs as individuals. God put us on this earth for a reason, but I really do believe, I say this with humility, that America still exists and America was saved. And Donald Trump moved his head a millimeter miracle, in Butler, Pennsylvania. This cannot be coincidental. This cannot be just a bunch of things that just kind of happen for whatever reason. There has to be a plan to all this, and I think the plan is civilization has a second chance. We're going to have a chance to make this thing work, and CPAC is proud of the role it's played in it.
Yeah, well, you have, and I feel the same way, Matt. You know President Trump well, and I don't know him well. I know him from a distance. I've been in meetings with him, but I don't know him well. How is he different to you? And is he? Maybe he isn't. How is he different to you?
I think, look, there's two things that happened, and he'd be mad at me if I played psychologist on him. I don't think he'd like it. But let me just try to say two things and answer your question honestly. I think two things happened that really changed him. One was air quotes losing the 2020 election. I could really, he's not a guy who loses too often. He sinks the putts, and he lost because they had so much fraud and. And I think he felt very isolated. He had a lot of people starting to abandon him. You know, almost a little more than 47 days after J6, we put him on our – you were there. We put him on our stage in Orlando, Florida. It ripped my board apart. They wanted me to uninvite him, some of them. And, some of the donors called me and said, he can't win. You should be divorcing yourself from him. He had to go through all that. You know, all these people who he thought were his friends and supporters started distancing themselves from him. And then, of course, the assassination attempt, I think, triggered a religious reawakening within him. And he's talked about that publicly. I believe that that has affected him. I think when he says that God saved his life, I think that's what he believes. And by the way, that, as you know, we have a personal relationship with our Creator. And if that's what God's put on his heart, I think that's it's an amazing thing to hear from someone like him, who's the furthest thing from someone you think would talk like that.
It's the truth, Matt. I have been, I think for me, it started at the convention. It really set in that his countenance different, just the way he talked. You know, there's nothing wrong with having an accurate view of yourself. And he is phenomenal. He's brilliant. He has gifts that nobody else has, and so many gifts in one body. So for him to recognize then in himself, from my perspective, even scripturally, is not wrong. But he does boast. He has a big ego, but that seems to have all been tempered. You don't have to comment on that, but I just think there has been a change, and that's pretty exciting, I think, for all of us, because God cannot work through a man who has too much pride. He really can't.
Obama was called the Messiah. And then nobody ever called that a prideful statement. He said he was going to quell the winds and lower the rise of the oceans. I mean, come on. And everyone's like, isn't he just so poetic? And I looked at that and said, my God, he's so arrogant. You know, the Democrats get away with being men of history and being self-important. And when a Republican or a conservative tries to do something like that, they're called egotistical or hypocrite or whatever. Donald Trump, you know, he might have a big ego, but let me tell you, my parents were New Yorkers. I just think he's a New Yorker. And I think he's a kid from Queens with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder who's tired of people not taking him seriously or not understanding how talented he is. And he got to show the world what he's made of. And like I said, I'm just proud that we had a role to play.
Matt, you're watching just like I am all these things unfolding. I mean, I told someone recently, this is like watching 24, you know, being addicted like every day on television.
So awesome.
You have to just sit there and watch and see what he's
doing. In the beginning, I didn't know. I was kind of like, what's he doing? Like, I don't think he can do that. Why is he doing this? And then I realized, you know, he's just going to do everything. I said to Steve Bannon the other day, you know, some people pick and choose their fights. He's choosing every fight. And he's choosing a lot of common sense things. I mean, pennies and plastic straws and taking back the Kennedy Center. And, you know, it's like, it's not all complicated stuff. And in the meantime, the hostages are being set free, and hopefully we'll get more of these Israelis freed this week. But, you know, he sees a problem, he uses common sense and leverage to confront it. And it's amazing success. Now, what I can't know, Sandy, is whether he's really this talented or Biden was just that inept. Maybe a combination of both.
Well, this is my perspective, for what it's worth, is just that Trump has all of the gifts. But the thing that's fueling this and bringing down what we'd say strongholds at bringing down, like, not bringing down, but changing the hearts of people like Van Jones is God himself. This is God's power through President Trump. And there's nothing God can't do. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And did you and I ever think a year ago this would be possible? I didn't think so, Matt. I mean, I just couldn't see it happening.
I thought it was going to, I'll be honest, I did think it was going to, I wasn't completely positive, but I was pretty confident it was going to happen. And Mercy and I used to talk about this all the time. You'd have weeks where you felt better than other weeks. But what I didn't think would happen is that he would be as active as he's been on so many fronts at once. I thought he would kind of, because last time he kind of took a while to figure out the job. And
yes.
I guess I just didn't contemplate that he had it all figured out and that he spent 4 years getting very antsy about getting things done. And I think, look, I'll put my political strategist hat on. I think it's been a good strategy. I mean, take my my sympathy for him because I like him away. It's just, you know, I think people who are objective would look at this and say it's brilliant. I mean, he's juxtaposing Joe Biden's ability to walk across the room with his nonstop motion machine. And now I don't know if he could do 4 years of it, because eventually I assume you run out of topics to do executive orders on, but hey, maybe not. Maybe this will keep going. I don't know.
You know, I heard a comedian, who was it, say just a few days ago that by his calculation, Greg Gutfeld on Fox, he said by his calculation, the Trump administration will have accomplished everything by June of 2025. And it'll be over, it'll all be done.
Can take a vacation then or something?
I want to ask you about Europe, because to me, from my perspective internationally, I think they're like the slow boat. Because, you know, England, and well, they're not part of Europe, but you know what I'm saying, that continent, they helped undermine President Trump. They cooperated with the Russian collusion, and they are actually self-destructing as a country, which is so sad. But then there's Germany, who's so woke. I just want to know if you think any of these countries or leaders in Europe are going to warm to President Trump. Do you see any stirrings that might change things in those countries?
First of all, Liz Truss, the former prime minister, a good conservative, and Nigel Farage, who started this kind of whole movement with Brexit, they'll be at CPAC, and we'll have other Europeans at CPAC. And what I would say is this. Here's what I've come to realize. I didn't really understand. This is true in Asia. This is true in South America. This is true definitely in Europe. The center-right party, kind of like their version of the Republican Party, was doing what our Republican Party's doing, you know, kind of like doing the white flag of truce on cultural issues, trying to go along with the Chamber of Commerce on immigration issues. And then the only thing they're kind of known for by the end of the day is maybe less regulations, maybe a little better judges, and maybe lower taxes. And so what's happened in Japan and in all these countries is the people are abandoning that major center-right party, just as people were abandoning the Republican Party. And I always say that the Republican Party should send Donald Trump a thank you note, because if he had run as an independent, I don't think the Republican Party would exist. And by the way, I don't think the Tories are going to exist very much longer. Nigel Farage's Reform Party in the UK is now leading all the other parties in the polls.
Wow.
There's a real thinking that Nigel Farage could be a prime minister.
Wow.
In the UK. And so what's happening in these countries, France, Germany, Spain, is these new parties that have been created pretty recently are rising up. And in America, with a two-party system, we're a little different. We don't have a parliamentary system. But Trump going with inside the Republican Party and essentially taking it over has given the Republican Party, we're bucking history, because these other parties like the Tories, they're dying. They're going to go away because they didn't stand for anything in the end.
That's just great news. I mean, you could see God, I'm sorry, but God is at work in the world. He just is. And hearing, I think, the prayers of his people, and I'm with you, you said earlier, giving the world and this country another chance, even if we don't deserve it. And I guess I felt that we had sunk to such depths, I wasn't sure that we deserved it. But God in his mercy is doing something different. And so I am excited, Matt. I'm just so grateful. I am so grateful. And I know you are too. It's been a difficult last several years. It's been hard in many, many ways. And finally, we can laugh again and have some optimism for our kids, too. So CPAC, by the way, is next week. It's February the 19th through the 22nd at National Harbor, Maryland. Go to CPAC.org, CPAC.org, and sign up. And you have to do that right away. Also, you can hear Matt and Mercedes on America Uncanceled. That's their podcast. You see Mercedes and Matt all over Newsmax. And you know what great communicators they are. They both had tons of experience and a great heart for this country. So I recommend America Uncanceled. So, Matt, I think I'm done. I could talk to you more, but I think I better let you go.
We'll see you next week, Sandy, and God bless you.
Okay, same to you, Matt. God bless you guys. Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Look at this crowd. Elon Musk, where are you? Bring your over here so you can see who's here and what we're doing. We're not afraid of you. We know that you are the co-president now of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to follow very closely what he's doing and how he has done it. First of all, we're here at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. What is it? This is so important. Prior to this being organized in the Dodd-Frank reforms, consumers didn't have any place to really file complaints. They didn't have anywhere to go when the biggest banks in America was ripping them off. The student loans were being undermined. They didn't have any place to go. But guess what? The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was organized in a way to deal with people who are the victims of fraud by the biggest corporations in America. And so, what do? They're holding mega banks accountable for violating the law. They're protecting service members from illegal fees, high interest loans, and false advertising. Stops discrimination in housing and the U.S. economy. Protects students from scams. Why does Elon Musk want to get rid of all of this? Because he's a thief. He's a gangster. He brings his billionaire friends along with him because they think that they can take over this country. And Trump has said, you give me enough money, you can have it. And that's what he has done. He has turned over our country to Elon Musk. We didn't elect him. We didn't select him, we didn't ask for him, and we don't want him.
Well, speak for yourself, Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Some of us really do like him. We think he's doing a great job. And, you know, obviously he's over the target, or Maxine and her crowd would not be so apoplectic. And she's claiming, of course, that Donald Trump is trying to get rich. I swear, what does Donald Trump need this grief? He is a billionaire. He doesn't need the grief he's taken on behalf of this country. And Elon Musk doesn't need it either. So you have to use a little common sense when you listen to the rantings. Also, I feel like I need a shower, a bath or something. It's another example. We had to beep out her language because it's just so crass. It's so crass. Don't you long for some sort of elevated conversation? Don't you long for congressmen to have a dignity about them again? I'm not saying it was great in the past, but there is a greatness that did exist among many of them that we're missing. We're missing it. And it comes out in language, and it comes out in behavior. And I think we need to elevate the conversation in our homes, in our public discourse. We need to speak better English, use less slurs, dress better. I'm with Matt. I do think that that's kind of a natural outflow of when you start thinking of higher, nobler things. And that's what I hope we can move to. And of course, it's not an end in itself. It's an expression of the inside of you, where you are thinking higher, nobler thoughts. Read better things. Stop watching crass things. Stop encouraging your kids to watch pop stars who have no values and no morals. Encourage your girls to dress modestly. We don't have to live like this. We can change the trajectory of culture. And I hope that we can do that with God's help, of course. There's nothing that he cannot do, as we said earlier. That's everything for today. I just wanted you to hear that discussion with Matt. And I want to remind you that you can go to CPAC. It's not too late. Go to CPAC.org. It's coming up next week, February the 19th through the 22nd. And you can come. President Trump is always there. And so we didn't even name all the names. It will be a cavalcade of people who deserve your respect. I'll just put it that way. I think stars is sort of shallow. These are people who have worked hard, and they deserve our honor and our due. And so I'm looking forward to going. I'll be on Radio Row, and of course I'll be bringing those shows to you afterward. I always look forward to that, and I hope that you do too. I want to thank Timothy Plan because they allow us to put our money, they show us how to put our money where our values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.